The Buddha certainly did not refuse to face the problem of death. He faced it, in fact, quite early in life. According to what became the standard traditional account, he faced it when, as a young Shakya warrior of the ruling class, he drove out from the luxurious mansion in which he lived with his wife and infant son, and saw, for the first time in his life, an old man, a sick man, and a corpse. On seeing them, he realized that although young, healthy, and very much alive, he too was subject to old age, disease, and death. He also realized that being himself subject to birth, old age, disease, death, sorrow, and corruption, he sought what was subject to birth, old age, disease, death, sorrow, and corruption, and thus lived an unethical and unspiritual life. In other words, the Buddha, or Buddha-to-be, became aware of the fact of death. He faced the problem of death. But there was another sight that he saw for the first time, and that was a yellow-robed, wandering monk who had gone forth from home into the homeless life. On seeing him, the Buddha realized something else about himself. He realized that although he was subject to birth, old age, disease, death, and corruption, and sought what was of like nature, he could change. He could seek instead what was not subject to birth, old age, disease, death, and corruption, and thus lead an ethical and spiritual life. He could seek nirvana. He could seek the unconditioned. In other words, he became aware of the possibility of there being a solution to the problem of death, and that the finding of that solution was somehow connected with the homeless life. Accordingly, he left home, sat at the feet of various teachers, none of whom could satisfy him for long, practiced extreme self-mortification, realized the futility of self-mortification, adopted a middle way, refused a half share of a kingdom, and eventually, at the age of 35, sat down under a peepal tree at what afterwards became known as Buddhagaya. While meditating, he realized that death arises in dependence on birth, and that birth, i.e. rebirth, arises in dependence on craving, i.e. craving for continued existence on this or that plane of conditioned being. He realized that when craving ceases, birth ceases, and that when birth ceases, death ceases. With the cessation of craving, one attains nirvana, or the unconditioned. One attains a state of irreversible spiritual creativity in which there is no birth and no death, because in passing beyond the cyclical and entering upon the spiral order of existence, one has transcended all such pairs of opposites. Paradoxically, though the Buddha had solved the problem of death, he still had to die beneath the twin sal trees 45 years later. But it did not really matter that he had to die, because he had eradicated craving and the other unskillful mental states that make for birth, i.e. for rebirth. He had solved the problem of birth, and because he had solved the problem of birth, he had solved the problem of death, in the sense that he would not have to die again. Thus, the Buddha could face the problem of death when he saw his first corpse. And because he could face it, because he could look at the monster with fiercely glaring eyeballs without shrinking, he could also find the solution to the problem of death. In our case, it usually takes much more than the sight of a single corpse to make us realize that we too are subject to death. It takes much more than the sight of a single corpse to convince us that death is a problem. In our case, we are able to ignore any number of corpses, especially if we only read about them in the newspapers or see them on television. Even if we do become vaguely aware of the problem of death, we usually hope, no less vaguely, that we can somehow solve it without having to solve the problem of birth, just as we usually hope, with the same vagueness, that we can somehow achieve peace without having to give up violence. In other words, we usually become aware of the problem of death only to the extent of hoping, or perhaps praying, for the impossible. So far as the problem of death at least is concerned, it is a true saying that what men usually ask of God when they pray is that two and two should not make four. But now all that has changed. We have begun to realize that two and two really do make four. We have begun to realize that we cannot have peace without abolishing war. We have begun to realize that we cannot have birth without also having death. We have, in short, woken up to the problem of death. In fact, we have woken up to it to a greater extent than ever before in history. The reason for this is not far to seek. The reason is that we, the human race, are now faced by the possibility of a full-scale nuclear war. We are faced by the fact that each one of us may, at any time, meet with a premature, painful, and horrible death, and that the whole human race may be destroyed. It is the realization of this frightful fact that has had, upon some of us at least, the same kind of effect that the sight of his first corpse had upon the Buddha. It has made us aware of the problem of death. It has made us aware that the fundamental problem is not the abolition of nuclear weapons or even the achievement of world peace in the full sense of the term. It is not living in a way that is worthy of a human being in a purely material sense. For a human being worthy of the name, the fundamental problem is the problem of death. And the real significance of the possibility of nuclear holocaust that now confronts us is that it sharpens our awareness of this problem to a greater extent than has ever before been the case. The possibility of nuclear holocaust thus represents not only the greatest threat that humanity has ever faced, but also the greatest opportunity. Formerly, it was possible for some men to dwell in peace while others were at war. It was possible for some men to live in accordance with the principle of non-violence while others lived in accordance with the principle of violence. It was possible for some men to face the problem of death while others ignored it. Now, this is no longer the case. The possibility of nuclear holocaust means that we must all dwell in peace, all learn to live in accordance with the principle of non-violence, all become more aware of the fundamental problem of death. It means that we must all rise to our full stature as human beings or perish.